I'm about to paint a scenario generally, and if I were a wagering man, I would wager that everyone in here over the age of five, if they're paying attention, can fill in the details to this generic scenario. Here's the situation. You are, as far as you know, as far as you can tell, as far as you intend, are doing what is right. Matter of fact, you're even doing so at your own expense to some degree or another, and you're doing it to benefit someone else. You're serving someone else, you're doing something kind for someone else, foregoing some things, sacrificing some things of your own time, whatever it is, to do something nice and bless someone else. And they only bite the hand that's feeding them, as the saying goes. They unjustly accuse you. Your good deeds, shall we say, go rewarded with some form of punishment. Whether it's not accepting and snapping at you or worse. And there you are, just trying to do what's right. And you get treated unfairly. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know about directly, but certainly indirectly, what I was taught to do in those circumstances was put up a wall and be like, whatever, you can go take a long walk off a short pier. That means go jump in a lake or river, which isn't too hard today. It wouldn't take you very far to go. But basically, you respond with protecting yourself and cutting the other person off if you can. Well, this passage we're going to look at this morning addresses that scenario. That same situation. And I got to tell you up front, the counsel, the command in this passage might disturb you. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and see what I'm talking about here. First Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters. Now, servants here is, it could be indentured servants or actual slaves. Either way, you're stuck with this guy or this woman as your master. And the command to Christians in that situation is to be subject, submit to, obey. My translation says, with all respect. Who that respect is for, we'll get to in a minute. With all respect. So, servants, this is written to Christians, be subject, and then picking up with the comma there in verse 18, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. Literally there, the crooked, the twisted. For this is a gracious thing when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing. Thing in the sight of God. Now, granted, Peter's talking to Christian slaves, household servants that don't have a choice for employment. But still, what's being said there easily and generally applies to all Christians. He's saying this. He's saying, be subject to those who are over you, even if they're unjust, they're unfair, they're crooked, they're twisted, and they don't treat you right. Submit to them, obey them, continue to serve them. Mindful of God, conscious of God, because of God. And when you do so and you suffer for that, endure it. Endure. Don't grumble. Don't find yourself at the coffee machine or the water cooler grumbling about the idiot boss who's asking you to do something when it's counterproductive and he doesn't know what he's doing because he's never done this and he's only a manager. Or with your friends, my mom said this or my dad said this. Can you believe that? If only they understood. But endure. Endure the unfair, unjust treatment that you're getting for doing good because of God. When you do that, that finds favor with God. That's a gracious thing with God. Various translations there. The point being, that pleases God. So another way to state what's being said here is it pleases God when because of Him, Christians, His people, His children, we endure suffering that has come about because of the good that we're doing. Now this is extremely close to, because it's based upon what Jesus taught. Keep your finger or a bookmark or something in 1 Peter chapter 3 and back up to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5 verse 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's definitely what I learned growing up. Someone's going to treat you unjustly, you get them good. One way or another. Cut them off, cut her off, or give it back to them, something. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him also the other. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Now granted, there's situations in here where we have to be discerning. I am not going to stand by and let someone slap my wife or my daughter. Not going to happen. Okay? People take this literally and go to the whole thing about pacifism, where every time a beggar comes up and wants money, you give it to them no matter what, even if you know they're just going to turn around and use it to harm themselves with drugs or alcohol. It's not what this is saying here. You get what this is saying here, though. Endure evil treatment and continue to do good. That's what it's saying. Verse 43, you have heard that it was said you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Of course! Kind of hard to blow away my enemy if I don't hate him. Whether it's with words, bullets, or anything else. But I say to you, verse 44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Notice that. So you may be. This is Jesus talking prior to the cross here to Jews. So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain, and he's sending plenty of it now, on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, there's one thing in this passage that's very similar to the passage we're in, in that we're to do this knowing that there's a benefit in it. The difference here is said, in verse 45, so that you may be sons of your Father. The basic teaching here, though, is the same as in 1 Peter chapter 2. Endure evil. Endure unfair, unjust treatment. And continue to love and pray for and go the extra mile. That's where that saying comes from, by the way. With those who treat you ill. Now, in either case, whether you're in Matthew or 1 Peter, let's be honest here, this raises two questions. Two questions come up in our mind. Why in the world would God be pleased that His children suffer for doing what is right? It's a good question. It's a very legitimate question. The other question, dare I say this in the roof, not fall in? Why in the world we want to do what pleases a God like that? I mean, I don't naturally want to please a God like that. I want the God who says, you do what's right, and you're going to be blessed with more stuff. Broader boundaries. More affluence. More influence. More money, more power, more ease, more security, your best life now. That's the kind of God I want to serve. Why would I want to please a God who's pleased by the suffering of His children who are only suffering because they did good? Let's be honest, those are two questions that come to our mind. And the answer is in Scripture, the very next section of 1 Peter chapter 2. Again, the context is here is being written to Christians. He says in verse 21, we read 21 to 25, then I'll answer those two questions. He says, for to this you have been called. To what? To suffer for doing good. Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in His steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds, you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. There's a number of things going on in this passage. First, the first thing I want to just point out very briefly is that Peter points to Christ as an example of how to deal with suffering for doing right. How? Endure it. How did Jesus endure it? When He was reviled, He did not revile. When He suffered, He did not threaten. He continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges. That's how, as a Christian, you are to endure suffering for doing the right thing. You don't revile. You don't return. Insult for insult. You don't try and get back at. You don't try and take vengeance. But you entrust yourself, the other people in the situation, all the circumstances, to the one who judges justly. Knowing that you may not see that justice meted out here, worked out here and now, but sooner or later it will be, and that's in His hands. The one who judges justly. Who can judge justly because He is just, He is perfect, He is holy, He is righteous, He sees everything, knows everything, including the intention of one's heart. So there's the how you do it. Look to Jesus, that's how you do it. But what about those two questions I asked? Why would it please God that His children, His people, followers of Christ, Christians, would suffer for doing good? For doing what is right? And the answer is, because righteousness pleases Him. And in this life, righteousness, particularly because of Christ, is repaid with evil. It's not the suffering that pleases Him. It's the righteousness that pleases Him. The current circumstances are such that when one does what is right and good because of God, because of Christ, mindful of God, out of respect for, that's what a respect for is there in verse 18, respect or fear for God, jumping back to verse 18, 17, fear God. When one does what is right and good because of that, for Him, because of God, because of Christ, in this life, you're often, more often than not, repaid for that with unjust, unfair treatment. Because the world rejects God. We read from, Kellen read from John chapter 1. He came to his own did not receive him. Romans chapter 1. Everyone sees, look at this creation, there must be a creator. Nah, I'm going to worship birds instead. Or the earth itself. I'm going to reject God and not acknowledge Him, not give thanks to Him. So you worship foxes? Cool. Mountains, rocks? Cool. Yeah, all right, man, we can be brothers. Let's go out and climb a rock and look at mountain goats and worship. You what? You're doing what you're doing in the name of Christ? You are a fanatic. You're the problem with this country. Okay? That's the reality we find ourselves in. It's not the suffering that pleases a holy God. It's the doing what is right, what is just. And it just so happens that right now, the way that's often repaid is with unjust treatment, suffering. So it's not the suffering that pleases Him, it's the righteousness. And we see that here in Christ. What does it say in verse 22? He committed no sin. Neither was deceit found in His mouth. That means neither did He lie, which it means that. But it also means there was no trickery about it. He really was sinless. Chapter 1, verse 18 says, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without a blemish or spot. See, Christ was spotless. He was sinless. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. And yet, what? They nailed Him to that tree, to the cross. Pilate said to the Jews, I find nothing wrong with this man. I'll wash my hands, but I can go ahead and crucify him. I've already had the tar beaten out of him. His back looks like chop meat. He's got the crown of thorns shoved in his head. Because what? He healed? He did nothing but was good and right? And He told the hypocrites the truth? They're hypocrites? I find nothing wrong with this man. Nothing deserving of death. Go ahead and crucify him. And they did. Peter comes after everyone bluntly early on in Acts. You crucified Him. But, all who believe in Him receive forgiveness of their sins. Because He was sinless, yet died the death of a criminal. So that's the way it plays out. Did God the Father go, oh, look, my son is suffering. People say that. You know, Christianity is about cosmic child abuse. It's not the suffering that pleases God the Father. It is what is right and just. And the doing of that, when His children walk in His ways, that pleases Him. Our reality is, though, that when we do what is right because of Christ, we are often reviled, criticized, persecuted, rejected, unfairly treated. But we can have great confidence, encouragement, and motivation that when we endure such thing, there is benefit in it. There is credit in it, if you will, in that it pleases our Heavenly Father. Second question. Okay, but why please Him? Why please Him? That's also here in this second half of these verses, 18 to 25. Verse 21. Because Christ also suffered for you. The godly for the ungodly. The just for the unjust. The sinless for the sinner. The worthy for the unworthy. Suffered for you. Speaking to Christians, He suffered for you. Verse 24, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Why please such a God? Because that God became a man in order to die in our place, take our sins upon His shoulders, be beaten for us, literally, that we would be healed. I love that wordplay there. Healed. Because He had all those physical wounds, including the ones that caused His death. And by those, we are healed. It doesn't mean we'll never be sick if we're a Christian. If we have a wound, it will miraculously go away. But it means the cancer of our soul, if you will, sin, has been paid for. It's been paid for. So we no longer suffer the consequences of that hideous reality. We're healed of it. And our souls are now, instead of being in the hands of the prince of the power of the air of this world, are in the care of the great shepherd and overseer. He is the overseer, the shepherd, the caring for our souls, which are now His through His death, though He didn't deserve it. But He did it for us, not because we're worthy and deserving, because we needed it, and He had mercy upon us. That's why we would want to endure suffering, sacrifice our own rights, our own stuff, our own feelings, our own sense of justice and fairness, because Jesus has us covered. He suffered unjustly, unfairly, for undeserving me, undeserving us, that our souls, our lives, would be cared for and covered. The word soul there, we read soul, and right away we think, you know, the spiritual part of us. Scripture kind of uses that word meaning our life. Our life. He's got us covered. Really, what are we concerned about when we're treated unfairly? We're concerned about our life. If your life is secure in the one who paid the price for your rejection, rebellion, and disgust for God, you don't need to worry about your life. That's why Jesus said, don't fear the one who can hurt you, kill you. Fear the one who has authority over you, even in hell or heaven. Your eternal reality. Jesus got you covered. I noticed this phenomenon, if you will, growing up. I'm one of two kids only. My sister's 10 years older than me, so I basically grew up as like an only child. I wanted a sibling for a number of reasons. One, I'm relatively social, like people, like being around people. And I also noticed that the friends who had brother or sister, that even though they fought like cats and dogs and all kinds of stuff, when the hammer fell, there was any kind of trouble, they stood by each other. Why is that? It's such your family. You're going to go home. You're going to go home to them. You know, and even children might disobey, rebel against mom and dad, backtalk them, argue with them like crazy, be disrespectful. Yet if someone else comes along and disrespects their mom or dad, especially their mom, then there's fighting words. Why is that? Because at the end of the day, that's their mom, that's their dad, that's their brother, that's their sister. Well, at the end of the day, at the end of heaven and earth as we know it, Jesus has our life covered. We don't have to worry. We're secure. Our greatest concern has been taken care of by Christ through His suffering for doing what is right on our behalf, though we're unworthy. Why not please Him? He's given more than we could have ever imagined. Undeservedly, we've received it. We're covered eternally for forever. I mean, if that doesn't create gratitude in us and a desire to want to please Him, even if it means foregoing fair or just treatment, then either we really don't understand what's going on there or we don't believe. Because I tell you right now, if you were to give me a convertible Camaro in silver with black rims, I will be grateful for a really long time. Even on the days when I couldn't have the top down, I would be grateful for a really long time. And every time I saw that, I'll be grateful. Every time I got in it and drove, especially at the top down, I would be grateful. And when I had to start paying for all the maintenance that was going to happen and pay at the gas pump, I'd still be grateful. How much more so if you paid for the maintenance? If you gave me a gas card, if you no, I'd want to wash it and wax it. That'd be fun. If you did all the other hard stuff too, how could I not be grateful? Provided that that still meant something to me. Well, don't you mean something to you? By His wounds you have been healed. You were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the Shepherd and Overseer of your souls. Not only were you like a sheep without a shepherd, and the only shepherds around were leading you astray, but you were straying. And now you're covered. He's got you in His tender hold. Why, on His green earth, would we not want to please Him? No, there's no reason. That's easy right now, isn't it? We're sitting here in nice, cushy chairs, warm enough, dry enough. No one's treating us unjustly or unfairly at the moment. Not really sacrificing much. But it's that reality that we must have in mind. So that when that situation arises, whether it's someone cutting you off while you're following the traffic laws, or a boss, or a parent, or someone else in your home, when you get treated unfairly, and your response is to want to respond in kind, in like, insult for insult, dangerous driving habit for dangerous driving habit, you say, wait a second. Here's my opportunity to please the one who got me a Camaro? No! Who gave me a house with a roof is going to leak? It will. No! Who's got my life covered? No matter what comes, neither heck or high water, we're getting a lot of high water, He's got me covered. And even on those days when I get a glimpse of how wretched I am in my own soul, He's got me covered. At the greatest price, at the greatest sacrifice that He could have ever made. I couldn't imagine right now why I wouldn't want to please Him. But those times come when we grow weary of doing good and we don't want to. We want to fight for our rights, for right treatment, fair treatment, just treatment. When we do so, if our faith is already in Christ, we're forgetting. We don't have to worry about our lives. He's got them covered. Eternally. Join me in prayer. Father, by Your mercy, we call You Father. For by grace through faith in Christ we are your children. And only through faith in Christ. The one who suffered. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God, your righteousness. Father, in your mercy, may you strengthen us through your Spirit to walk in righteousness, especially when it's costing us, when there's suffering and sacrifice involved, that we would please you and point to the beauty, to the glory, to the forgiveness and the mercy that is there in Jesus Christ, who went to that cross without a single returned insult, not even a bitter thought, but said to those below who insulted him, said of those below who insulted him and gambled over his clothing, Father, forgive them. We will, before this day is over, however minor, be in a situation where our good is responded to with unfairness, with unkindness, with even evil. May Christ be so foremost in our thoughts and our hearts that we would endure. And not just endure gritting our teeth, but like Peter in Acts, rejoicing to be privileged with the honor of suffering in the name of Christ. That's how it will be more often than not in this life. And that tests our faith. Are we after the worldly, perishing, passing, finite concerns of our life? Or eternal life and dwelling with Christ forever? We believe, help us to believe, to walk in that faith. Any who don't this morning, grant it. Return the straying sheep to the great shepherd, to Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.